So we are in week four, actually, of our sermon series, Lord, Teach Us How to Pray. And we are unpacking the Lord's Prayer one petition at a time. And so we're at the fourth petition, and we will be reading through the whole prayer as we always do. But we will be focusing, as Kyle said, on Give Us Today Our Daily Bread. I know I say this every week, but I still want to leave it open to you. I got some really good questions so far that you guys have presented. But if you have questions that you would like answered, we're going to, the last sermon series, so the end of February, is going to be from questions that you have specifically about prayer, or maybe something wasn't completely clear, and you're more than willing to put those on the back of the comment card and put them in the basket over there or the basket over there, and I'll try my best to choose the question that is most relevant to us, and we'll preach on it. There's some good ones, so we'll see. But if you got another good one, maybe we can combine a couple of them like we did at the end of the Heaven series over a year and a half ago. But just want to keep that in mind as you look at that. So if you could turn with me in your Bibles, if you're reading the Bibles in your pews, it's page 672, I believe. Matthew 5, we're going to read through actually just 9 through 13, not 5 through 13. But definitely, we will just read through the Lord's Prayer. And I know this is familiar to you, but it's good for us just to reread it again and again and to get it kind of embedded in us as the Lord really uses it as a framework or as a way for us to think about prayer. So, this is what the Word of the Lord says. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. As we start off our sermon series, our sermon today, I want to ask you a couple of kind of questions about prayer. After all, we're trying to do this series to learn how we can improve our prayer life. And so I want to ask you just this question. What periods of your life have been your most prayerful? What are those situations, maybe is a better way, or things that have caused you to cry out to God in prayer most? When are those times when you feel like you've had to cry out to God in most? If you're like most people, my guess is that you would answer that question that there is a time of need, where you recognize, man, life isn't going the way that I expected it to. Maybe you were out of work and you need a job, and so you pray hard that God would provide you work. Maybe you're facing a difficult time in your relationship, this marriage that you thought, or this parenting thing that you thought was going to be a breeze or so great and so fulfilling, hasn't quite lived up, and you realize that other people have a will, and it's not always easy to deal with it. And so you pray, God, help me be the better husband. Help me to be the better wife. Help me to be the better parent or the better kid or the brother or sister when things are facing relationship difficulties. Maybe it's facing a type of physical ailment. You realize that your body is not completely shatterproof, that you can have injuries, that you can face difficult times. You can face words like cancer or terminal illness or things like that. And so you have to pray. Maybe it's you have a desire for a relationship and it's just not happening the way that you wanted it to. It seems like there's absolutely no hope on the horizon. And so you pray, God, help me. Help me deal with my singleness, or help me to find that person that you have in mind for me. My guess is that the reality is our times of most prayerfulness are the times when we sense that we don't have enough of something, that we have a need for it. But let me ask you one other question. If you were to break down the balance of your prayer, if I had a pie chart of your prayer, I'm a former engineer, so that's the way my brain works. But if I showed you a pie chart of your prayer, what do you think would fill up that prayer most? Would it be adoration? Would it be confession? Would it be thanksgiving? Or would it be supplication? Some titles that we like to use often in the church to talk about prayer. Again, my guess is that the majority of us probably spend the majority of our time doing supplication, which is just a big fancy word for saying, God, give me something. God, I need your help here. Hear my requests. Well, I want to ask these questions because we need to kind of remember and always hold our own prayer life up to the prayer that Jesus gives us. And we're in an interesting transition in the Lord's Prayer. If you've noticed, the first three petitions all had Lord as the subject and was asking God to do something. Lord, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Make your name hallowed was the prayer. Lord, make your kingdom come was the second petition. And Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven were the prayers and the petitions that we've been raising. And so the focus has been on God primarily. And now as we transition into the second half of the prayer, you'll see that the subjects and the objects and the types of prayers or requests that we have are different. Now we tend to focus on us and on our needs and asking God to do these supplications. My wife and I, when we were first married, lived in an apartment, one of those big, huge apartment complexes with multiple buildings. And for those of you who have ever lived in those apartment buildings, the reality is they tend not to invest too much money on their appliances. I've never seen stainless steel appliances in a entry-level apartment, right? I mean, not exactly known. You get the small fridge with just, you know, the little freezer, and you get not the greatest upgrade on things. Well, one of the things when we moved in there was we were thankful to have a washing machine, but our washing machine was definitely not top of the line, and it was definitely on its last leg. And so what would happen is, as we'd put in our laundry, all of a sudden we would hear it go, and it would seem like it's doing it fine, and we'd hear this clankety-clank, clankety-clank, and then it'd jump up to thump, 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 thump. And we knew that we had to do something to fix it. What would happen is, the drum would get out of balance. I don't know how many of you guys have experienced this, but it would happen, right? I mean, the thump, thump, thump was the shaking of that thing because it was so out of balance. And so we would jump up before things broke, and we'd have to get over there and take, you know, one pair of jeans that was over here and put them on the other side where there is no clothes to kind of create that balance. And then you could close that lid again and see once it spins a couple of times, and usually you could get it to where that thumping would stop and it would get balanced. Well, I share that story because if you look at the way that Jesus has articulated this prayer, if you look at the way that he has crafted it in such a way that the focus is on Christ, a drum is supposed to be centered on the middle. It's supposed to spin around that way. And the way that Jesus has crafted his prayer in this first half is for us to focus this prayer on God. And it's important for us as we make this transition to notice that, because if we just pray our supplications, if we just bring those needs to God, it's not a bad thing, and we'll look at different requests that we can bring over the next 3 weeks. But if we do that, our prayer life will be out of whack, and it can really cause huge complications for us. You see, Jesus wants our prayer life to be centered on Christ, on God, and so it may mean that we have to kind of switch things around a little bit. It may mean that we have to kind of change our priorities a little bit and give certain things a little bit more time and energy and focus than we did before. And hopefully as you see our prayer life and as we look at the Lord's Prayer and how it impacts us, you'll see that these first three requests are really that. It's a way for us to focus on God, to show that we're part of a bigger thing that's happening here. It's not just about us and our needs, although they're really important to God and he wants to hear them, as we'll learn. But the reality is that there's a grander narrative that we're part of. The story of God and his work in our world, that his name is hallowed, that his kingdom is coming, that his will is done. And when we focus on those things first, then our prayer life can spin the way that it was designed to. It can have the traction and operate the way that it should. And so before we look at this, I want you just to have that image in mind, because what we'll learn is that God desperately wants to hear our requests. Christ actually tells us to bring requests and multiple requests to God. That's his pattern of prayer that we see in the Lord's Prayer. But if we get things out of whack and we lose that initial focus that Christ did, then we've kind of missed the point. So what does this phrase, give us today our daily bread, really mean? Well, we're going to unpack every word because they're so powerful. The first word that we see is give. Now, give implies two things, doesn't it? One, it implies a giver, and in this situation, it means that there's a need. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like to think of myself as a needy person. I like to think of myself as I have life all figured out. We tend to buy into our culture's idea that we need to be self-reliant people who have life all put together, that we don't need other people or other things, and that the goal of our life is to live this comfortable life without any needs. We hate needs. Advertisement creates need for us. That's how they sell things. They say you need this to live your life better. So we kind of live in this tension. But the reality is this opening word of the petition reminds us that we are more needier than what we think. Lord, give us something, right? And so what we see in this opening statement is a reminder that we are needy people. We need help, that we're more fragile than what we realize. And so when we come to the Lord in prayer, or when we recognize those times of need, it's not that we're seeing something differently. We've always been needy. Our life has always been more fragile. We've always needed to God to work. It's just we're more aware of the need because it seems more pressing. And so one of the things that God wants us, that Jesus wants us to recognize here in this prayer, is whether life is going good or whether it's going bad, that we are all people in need of something. And we have someone who wants to give it to us. The God, the giver of all, is also the giver of all things. We're crying out to God. The word give says somebody needs to give us something, right? And who we've been looking to in this prayer is our Father in heaven. And so as we look at this, we see our Father in heaven is the giver of everything good. The Bible teaches this really huge and really powerfully in a variety of different verses. Some of my favorite are James 1, where it says, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chooses to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be the kind of first fruits he created." But that line, every good and perfect gift is from above, is a powerful one. Or Isaiah 24 or 42 verse 5, this is what the Lord says, "He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it." When you look at that, it says that even our breath and our life and our ability to walk, all those things come from the Lord. Or Jeremiah 1, verse 5, it says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." See, there's this thing that the Bible is deep inside it, and we talked about it last week, that the sovereign will of God is at work behind the scenes in everything we do. And that, yes, we have to have human interaction. Yes, we have to take responsibility for it, but God's will always trumps ours and is always at work. Now, some of you may push back a little bit and say, "Well, hold it. My good life is a response of my good decisions." Really? You know, when you think about it, all our life is really a gift. That's what the Bible teaches. You know, you may exercise rightly, you may eat perfectly, and that's a great thing for you to do. I'm not telling you to eat junk food and Cheetos. But the reality is that even our health is a gift from God. Were you able to choose the DNA that you have that allows you to run freely and have exercise freely rather than struggle with things like MS or cerebral palsy? You see, even our ability to have physical activity is a gift from God. You may say, "Well, I'm doing well financially because of some of the great decisions that I made, or the great school that I paid my way through, or the business that I started up from scratch." Who is it that gave you that intellectual ability? And who made it that you have the brains and the skill set that you need to craft that business in such a way? Were you the one who determined that you would have the full capabilities of your brain rather than have to struggle? Sometimes it's a gift of the joy that we see in people with Down syndrome or limited mental capabilities. But ultimately, did you make that decision, or was that decision made for you, and were you given that gift? You know, things like good relationships. You can say, "Well, I chose the person I married. I'm the one who made the good choice." Really? Did God not put you in a home that maybe showed you what good relationships are like so you had an idea of what you should look for? Or maybe he put people in your life that showed you unconditional love even though your family was completely torn apart and you didn't have a glimpse of it? Or did you just find all those people out on your own? The reality, even our relationships are more of a gift. Maybe you worked hard to get where you're at, and you did. That's a great thing. Praying, though, this prayer doesn't mean that we can just throw up our hands and wait for God to miraculously give something. But ultimately, who is it that gave you the skill set and the talents and the gifts that got you where you're at? Who is it that provided you and even put you in the setting to live in America where you can work and get ahead compared to living in the third world country? You know, a software engineer like Bill Gates, who made billions of dollars, wouldn't really cut it in third world, probably, right? I mean, not to bash on Bill Gates, but his skill set, if he was born into a poor village of Nicaragua, probably computer science isn't really even on their radar. But because he was put in a certain spot, God gave him that gift. God gave him the ability to get ahead, and the same is true for us. What abilities and gifts have you gotten? See, when we cry out to God to give us something, it's this acknowledgement deep down inside of us that we're more needy than what we realize, that we need God's more gifts more often than we admit, and that he's the giver, ultimately, of everything. And this is what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that this is where we need to come. What difference does this make? Well, the first thing is, it shows us our dependence on God, doesn't it? Like I said over and over, when we realize how much of our life is a gift and how much in need we really are, it makes us realize how dependent we are on God. And that really is the point of this prayer, to remind us that we are dependent on God. But also, when we realize how much of our life is a gift, it should make us more have a life full of gratitude, shouldn't it? I mean, it's so easy for us when we come to the Lord in those times of intense prayer to think about all the bad things that are happening, the needs that we have, that we can lose track of the small blessings that Christ has given us. But in this prayer, the more that we realize how dependent we are on God, the more that we realize that everything, even the small things like the ability to breathe, the ability to move, the ability to even have any money or finances or anything like that is truly a gift, it creates a heart of gratitude deeper in our souls. I've told you over and over, I think, in prayer requests, I will never forget when I was had more gratitude for working feet than when my ankle was broken and I had to walk around in that stupid air cast for 4 weeks, right? You take that for granted. You take for granted how every step is full of pain until it's pain-free. But once you feel that, and once you see that pain and anguish in your life, you realize how much of a gift you had before it was taken away. And really, this phrase, give us, is a reminder for us how much of our life God has given. And so we need to realize that and let it kind of soak into our lives here today. But the phrase us also has a connotation. You know, Jesus doesn't say, give me. He doesn't teach us to pray that. He wants us to pray a corporate prayer. He says, give us. And so when we do our corporate prayer like we just did before church, it's a real thing. It's a thing that we're called to. It reminds us that this life isn't just about you and me and our concerns, but it's about the greater body and a greater good. And yes, we need to bring our concerns. Yes, we need to bring those things that are the concerns of those closest to us. But we need to bring the petitions of all our brothers and sisters in Christ if we want to have our prayer life in balance. And so that's the other thing that we learned from this phrase. You see this in verses like Galatians 6:2, don't you? Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the life of the law of Christ. Or James 5, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So there's something about us praying for each other that the Lord wants us to see throughout the rest of this Lord's Prayer. But there's something also that's important for us to pick up. This next phrase that closes out this petition, today, our daily bread. And there's a couple things we learn from the word today. The first thing that we see is that prayer should be a regular occurrence. Prayer shouldn't be this once a month thing. It shouldn't be this thing where, oh, I'm stuck in traffic and I need my give me fire extinguisher prayer. And so, oh, cleared the traffic road for me miraculously or before a big interview. Prayer should be part of our regular everyday life. It should be something that we incorporate on a daily basis because it helps remind us of our need for God. So when Jesus says, give us today, he's implying that prayer should be a regular part of our life. We see it in verses like 1 Timothy 5 that says to be joyful always and to pray continually. But it also reminds us that there's a new day. You see, when Jesus' original hearers would have heard this phrase, today, our daily bread, they would have had passages in mind, like Joshua 24, verse 15, that says, choose this day whom you will serve. Or Psalm 118, where it says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Or in Matthew 6, where he says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. You know, it's so easy for us when we're in a spot of need to be so overconsumed by our needs and wants and our desires that we can forget that every day is a new day, that it's a new way for us to do. And we have a choice. Are we going to trust in God? And are we going to be dependent on him? Are we going to have a heart of gratitude that is thankful for the gifts that he's given? Or are we going to sink in kind of our own self-pity or not? And so when Jesus says, today, pray, you know, give us today this, he wants us to have that kind of concept in mind, that each new day is a new day with God, and we need to remember that. But this other thing that we see is our daily bread. Now, our daily is a phrase that's actually only used once in the Bible, and it's right here. And so scholars have had to kind of search, what's really Jesus getting in mind? Well, I think he's really trying to hit the today and our daily bread, to hit that daily reliance on him, to remind us how much we desperately need him and how much we want to have joy a part of our life. But the concept that it communicates is the idea of a daily ration. You know, I've never had to fight in war, but when I studied World War II, and I love that era of history, I'm reading Civil War right now, some of the stuff in there. The soldiers aren't given a month's worth of rations to carry on their back. It would be too much, wouldn't it? I mean, could you imagine carrying 30 cans of sardines or mutton, as it was in World War II, on top of your guns and all this? You wouldn't be able to really do much. And so this concept of our daily bread is really getting that across, that this is the ration. This is what you need. It's ask for what's enough, for what's sufficient for today. And so when Jesus calls us to ask, give us today our daily bread, he's reminding us that we don't need to ask for perfect comfort, that we don't need to ask for everything to go completely smoothly. What we need is for the strength and the encouragement and the necessary stuff that we need for each day, that we get our ration of hope, that we get our ration of peace, that we even get our ration of the physical sustenance that we need each day. That's not hard. It's a hard thing to really pray, isn't it? We want to know what our future is, like we looked at last week. We want to know what the future is going to hold so we can know that everything's going to be smooth sailing. But what Christ encouraged us to do in this prayer, give us today our daily bread, is to remind us that we need to take one day at a time and ask God to provide just for that next day. And the last thing he asks and calls us to ask for in this phrase, give us today our daily bread, is bread. Notice he didn't ask us to pray for coffee. He didn't ask us to pray for that fancy Gucci bag or that gadget that we all have. He tells us to pray for the thing that most matters. Whether I think it or not, I can actually survive without coffee. You may not think that. I have coffee up here all the time, and I need that caffeine to survive. But if push came to shove, and I needed to survive, bread and water is all I need. And that's what God really challenges us to pray for. That's what Christ challenges us to think of. When we pray and when we bring these prayers and requests, it's so easy for us, isn't it, to get trapped into, well, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. And instead, what God says, what Christ says, is yes, it's okay to bring those wants and those desires to him, and it's okay to want those things, most of them, but what really matters and what we need to really spend our time and energy focusing on are those practical needs. Gregory of Nyssa, which is one of the original kind of Greek fathers who were around a couple centuries after Christ, said this about bread. We are commanded to seek what is necessary for the preservation of the bodily existence by saying to God, give bread. Not luxury, nor wealth, nor beautiful purple robes, nor ornaments of gold, nor anything else by which the soul may be drawn away from its divine and worthier care, but bread. Again, maybe we should rephrase it this way. It's not the fancy car. It's not the fancy iPhone or iPhone, you know, whatever gadget it may be. And I'm a techie, you know it. It's not the clothing, or it's not the new toy or the new bike or whatever it is. What God really wants us to pray for and what God really wants us to desire is just the practical things. Again, those things aren't bad, but what Christ is challenging us to do is to not let them captivate our heart, to not dominate our life so that our life gets so out of balance that the spin cycle goes thump, 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 but rather that we can be dependent on God for the basic things and be focused on his will, his kingdom, his desires, and in that way, we can do this. And in that way, this request, give us today our daily bread, might actually filter out our request, isn't it? I mean, it may seem like maybe I don't need to just pray for this gadget or gizmo or this. Maybe I need to pray for things that matter a little bit more. Maybe I need to pray that I change my heart so that I can be more gracious to my spouse or to my kids. Maybe I need to trust that God changes me into the person that I need until he provides me with the spouse that I desperately desire. Maybe we pray, God, just help me to trust you that the money will be there as I pay each day. I have to pay each day's bills and trust that it will be. Maybe it will be even that we have to change our lifestyle a little bit to do. But when we pray, give us today our daily bread, these are the kind of things that we should be thinking of. And this is the challenge that God gives to us today. But as Kyle said in the opening confession, you see, the more that we're aware of our physical needs, the more we're aware of our emotional needs and these kind of things, we realize that daily bread and physical things will never satisfy. We have to come to the Lord daily because these things are temporary. I eat food and I drink food and I need it again the next day. I buy things and I spend money and I need more the next day just to survive. It's part of who we are. It shows us that there's a temporary nature to everything and that ultimately our desires and our goals will not be met by the bread of this world. And what Christ says is that he's the bread of life. And so when we pray, give us today our daily bread, we should have in mind what Jesus says in John 6, which is, I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven, and if anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. You see, we not only have physical need for bread, we have a spiritual one. And if we don't get in touch with that when we pray, give us today our daily bread, then we've missed the point. Jesus actually uses this word when the crowd comes to him after he's fed a multitude of people asking him, show us that trick again. We need more food. Our bellies need to be hungry. And he says, whoa, you've missed the point. I gave you that bread to show you that God is the provider of everything you need, but it's just a foretaste of what you truly need spiritually, which is to put your faith in Christ and to trust the bread of life for everything. So that you can realize that your things that you do are no longer, don't have any sway with God or have the right relationship with him, that our brokenness, that our sinfulness can only be satisfied by the work of Christ on the cross. That's what we celebrate every week when we take communion, that the body of Christ, the bread of life, was broken so that you and I can live in, for the entire world. I love how he says it a little bit earlier. He says this like three times in the verse. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. But you'll see this. I am the bread of life. Who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. And so if you've come to this today thinking that, hey, I just need to have the secret of how to get God to do whatever I want and give him, pray this way so that I can get what I want, you need to come with a deeper grasp so that you have a deeper reality, a spiritual one that needs to be fed by the bread of life. And I encourage you to wrestle through who Jesus is and why he's important to your life. After the Korean War in South Korea, there was a large number of orphans. Some of you know this real life. And what they found is that a lot of these kids didn't know where they were going to get their meal each day. And so there was this fear that kind of built up inside them. And so when the orphanage would take them in and when they would have three square meals a day, every night they would go to bed so anxious and worried and afraid because they didn't know where that next meal was going to come from. What the orphanage workers found is that if they would give them a piece of bread to hold in their hands, that the kids could just rest the night, all the night through. That if they knew that they had their daily provision for the next day, then they could relax and know that they were taken care of. Well, this prayer reminds us that we need to have that kind of attitude, that kind of dependence on God, because it ultimately brings us joy and peace because we realize where all the gifts come from. But at the same time, we need to hang on to the bread of life that's in our grasp if we've put our faith in him. We need to rest on that. That God will provide everything we need, even if he doesn't provide the bread that we ask for. But that bread of life that we hold in our hand because God's worked in our hearts is much more powerful and restful and can give us more peace than we ever imagined. And so when we face trials, we need to have this image of us sleeping there, holding the bread of life with us and get the peace that it offers. We may not get every request that we ask in this prayer, but if we put Christ in our life, we have been given something even greater. Let's pray. We're going to end this sermon like we have every other one by doing a prayer that's a responsive reading based on give us today our daily bread. And so we are going to read this out loud, and it just hits the different highlights of it. But this is how we'll close with prayer. If you want to learn how we can incorporate give us today our daily bread a little bit more in your life, don't forget that we have a weekly handout of 5 short readings. They're 5 to 10 minutes that you can take with you, and some exercises that we recommend for prayer. You're more than willing to grab one of those on your way out, or they're always online if you forget to do that as well. So let's pray, and then we will take communion. Heavenly Father, give us today our daily bread. Gives us great hope because these words not only tell us of our need, they also tell us about your wonderful invitation. When we come before you with empty hands, we know that we are here because you have invited us to be here. We know that we are not a bother or a beggar, but children who has a Father who wants to provide for them. You've provided the physical needs we have been aware of and those we simply take for granted. You've provided not only food for us each day, but also our air, water, shelter, transportation, clothing, and more. When we have asked, you have provided. When we have not asked, you have still provided. Today we need and we ask for more of your grace in our lives. Today we need more of that wisdom that comes down from you. Today we need more boldness and honesty to face situations and people and to respond as Jesus would. We need the fruit of your Spirit flowing through our life. Give us all these things today and every day. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help to create this, cultivate this attitude of total dependence on you. That we never take anything you give us for granted. And that we also have the boldness to ask. Ask for the things that really matter, but ask that you'll work in our hearts and in our lives. And give us the peace that comes from knowing that we can hold the bread of life in our hand, that you are working in our hearts, that you're holding us actually in your hand, and that we can take good comfort from that, no matter what challenges we face today. In your name we pray, amen.